It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It may be the dog days of summer, but there's a lot of crap to get to over the next 4.5 hours here on WFAN in New York City. It is Evan and Tiki. The New York Yankees found a new way to lose last night. Actually, it's not a new way. They've done it a billion times this season.
Dare we call it Median?
Or Holmesian, if you will.
True.
We'll get into the Yankee ills a little bit later on. The Mets with a disappointing series over the weekend against the Miami Marlins. And the Mets have decided to raise ticket prices again. We'll get into the details on that a little bit later on. But on Saturday, it was funny. I didn't expect myself to be in this situation. But at 1 o'clock, we were having some people over later in the day. I sat down in front of my TV and actually was glued to Giants-Texans for like a good hour and a half. On a Saturday afternoon. And maybe it's because I'm so thirsty for football. Maybe it's because it was a Saturday. It was like a lazy Saturday afternoon. And I found myself watching what Giant fans were watching, and that is Daniel Jones. He threw a brutal pick six. He threw another interception. He also had some great shots downfield. And we can examine everything he did on the field for the first half he was out there. But Tiki, the thing I can't get past about Daniel Jones is that the Giants told the world during the offseason that they want to replace him.
Yes.
They told everybody.
Right, and it doesn't matter if he plays great.
Yeah.
If he goes out and he doesn't look like he's missed a beat after being on the shelf for 8 months, after tearing his ACL last year, it doesn't even matter.
Right.
It's like, oh, who cares? You know what? It was good that they told him that they were going to replace him because now he's motivated and he's playing fantastic. But the problem is he didn't look fantastic, and it wasn't all his fault. He had pressure on him right away, backed up in the end zone. He has to get rid of the ball, otherwise take a safety, even though it probably was the better thing to do. And he just throws a rookie mistake throw away that turns into a pick six. And then he throws one later in the next series down. Again, I don't mind that one more because it was a shot he was trying to take to Jalen Hyatt. It just was a great play by the cornerback who undercut it. But when you look at it in statistic form, it just felt ugly from the very beginning of his rebirth back into this Giant offense. And I said this to our group chat, and I think I love Daniel Jones as a person. I love what he potentially can be. He gets hard to root for when he plays like that.
Mm.
And it makes you understand, back to your point, why the Giants have this, we need to kind of think about replacing him in their minds. And it came forward in Hard Knocks. And his showing at the beginning of that preseason game, his first action back since his ACL, made you understand why the Giants are looking somewhere else.
Well, and they're going to replace him, like you said, no matter what happens.
Unless he goes to the NFC Championship game or comes to the Super Bowl.
Okay, something stunning happens.
Right, spectacular happens. That's the only way.
That's a weird way to go into a season.
Yeah.
I mean, think back to all the different quarterbacks we've had in this city, and I'll loop in the Jets on this because the Jets have had so many different quarterbacks. The Giants have actually been pretty consistent.
Yeah.
When you think about Daniel Jones and Eli Manning for the last two decades. But usually when you go into a season, you go in with a veteran that you're trying to win with, or you go in with a young player that you're hoping is the long-term answer. Very rarely do you go into a season with a guy that you've announced to the world you're going to replace.
Yeah.
And so this is kind of this weird oddity that the Giant fan has to deal with this season where you're rooting for him because it's a football season. Football seasons are special. You want to win.
And given what's on your roster, who gives you the best chance to win?
No doubt. Like, I definitely agree with that. Like, I think you should play. But they've already told you that if he gets hurt, he's getting replaced. If he plays crappy, he's getting replaced. If he plays well, he's probably getting replaced. Like, they told all of us during the offseason, we like Daniel Jones, but we like other people better.
True.
And that's a weird predicament to start a football season. And that's what I kept thinking as I was sitting there watching Daniel Jones, make some mistakes, but also take a lot of shots down the field, which we're going to see this season.
Of course.
There's no doubt that that's going to be a part of this Brian Daboll-led, I'm calling the plays offense, that no matter what he does, he's going to be replaced.
Yeah, it's why the second interception you don't mind, because that's philosophical. It's we're taking shots. Whether or not you put a perfect throw on it or not, we're taking shots. And we saw it come to fruition later on in the game. He had a great one down the field to Malik Nabers, which is a ridiculous catch, by the way, because it was like he threw his hands up after the ball was past his head, and he somehow still caught it.
It was incredible.
As I watched it, I said, how did he even know where the ball was? It's like he put his hands just behind his head and caught this thing. But we know that the potential is there for great things to happen, but the actuality of it, we don't trust right now. And so Daniel Jones is in an almost no-win situation for him, because unless it's spectacular, as we were just talking about, he's likely to get replaced. Now, is that a bad thing to be on the edge? No, it's not. Maybe it motivates him. Again, we don't know what it's going to show up as, but I feel like Daniel Jones has to find a way to block out all of this, like, speculative, you're not going to be here, we don't trust you, you're just a placeholder noise. Because we are going to get it every single time.
Yes.
He has a bad day.
You know what else we're going to get about Daniel Jones? And this always drives me nuts, and it already started. It's already going on right now in the middle of August before a real game has been played. Every time Daniel Jones does something, it's going to be studied. Like, like we're splitting an atom. Well, like, Daniel Jones is great. See what I'm talking about? Or Daniel Jones sucks. See what I'm talking about? I think I know what Daniel Jones is. And it feels like sometimes I'm one of the only people around here that pretty much feels confident that I know what he is. He's an average quarterback. If he can stay healthy, sure, he's fine. He's this, he's that. He's not elite. He doesn't suck. It's neither of the extremes. The problem is, he's going to be gone at the end of next year.
Yeah.
So we're all going to spend so much energy debating the merits of this man, and yet next year this man is going to be on a different football team, God knows who his replacement's going to be. I've told you for a while, I think it'll be Dak Prescott. I know that bothers you. We'll see. I think it's going to be a veteran. I think it's going to be somebody maybe we're not thinking of. Maybe it's Kirk Cousins. Maybe it's somebody in the draft. Maybe it's Gardner Minshew after he has a big year with the Raiders. I don't freaking know. Here's what I do know, Teak. It ain't going
to
be him.
Well, and no disrespect to Daniel Jones, because, again, I like him. But he's earned this. And I don't mean that in a negative way, not taking a shot at him. He's earned the scrutiny. Because if you're not consistently available or consistently trending towards elite, then you've earned question marks. And so he's just surrounded by question marks. Some of them are not his fault, obviously. Some of them clearly are. And so he's earned this. And the problem is, it's what we have, right? We can sit here and bitch and moan, and I wish we had this guy, and this guy would be better, and throw Tommy DeVito out there, who didn't look fantastic either, in a backup role on Saturday. But whatever we want and think we deserve as Giant fans after the roster's been built a little bit better, we have Daniel Jones. No matter what you say, that's what we have.
And it is, I admit this, as a sports fan, and there isn't a perfect comparison because quarterback is the most important position in all of sports, but there is something kind of empty as a sports fan watching a season in which you always try to convince yourself you have a shot. That's at least how I am as a fan. I wouldn't say I'm an optimistic fan, but going into a season, I always like to believe, hey, this happens, I can be a playoff team. Mm-hmm. In fact, here's how deluded I am, and I swear to God I really mean this. Before the basketball season starts this year, I'm going to do that with the Nets, and they're a tanking team.
Yeah.
Like, that's how I am as a sports fan. Like, oh, if this happens and that happens.
But you look at a couple of good players, and you're like, well, if this guy has an
you never know. Right.
MVP level type season, maybe we have a shot.
But you know what's fun about...
By the way, that's exactly what the Giants are. If Daniel Jones has a top 10 QB season, the Giants have a chance.
If their defense can take some leaps and bounds, especially with potentially an elite pass rush, things can work out. They can win 9 games, 10 games, and make the playoffs. We all want to do that as sports fans. The problem is quarterback's the most important position in sports, and your quarterback is temporary. Your quarterback is a Band-Aid. And usually when you have a Band-Aid quarterback, you brought the Band-Aid in because you just drafted somebody young who's eventually going to be the guy. Kurt Warner was a Band-Aid, but guess what? Eli Manning's here. Josh McCown is a Band-Aid, but don't worry, the Jets are tanking, and they're going to draft a quarterback the following year. Those are other examples of Band-Aids, but they always had like the solution there with you. Jones is a Band-Aid where the solution for the Giants at quarterback long-term is not here. We could speculate about it all day. It could be someone in the draft. It could be a veteran free agent. It could be somebody we're not thinking of because they're not disgruntled yet. And that's a tough thing as a sports fan when you go into a season hoping for the best, trying to convince yourself you can be a playoff team, and the guy who mans the most important position is temporary because they told us
so it's
he's
that,
temporary.
So it's that Band-Aid that you're just going to leave on for like 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Just never pull it off.
Well, it better be more than 3 weeks. If you're breaking this Band-Aid off in three weeks, you're screwed.
In normal, you expand it out, it's for the entire season. In his defense, Daniel Jones has not taken real snaps in 10 months. Right? He's looked great in preseason. Not great, but healthy. He's looked healthy in the preseason, but he hasn't taken real snaps until this past weekend, 3 days ago. And so while we can criticize the rust and the bad decisions, he's kind of getting used to it again. Now, should he be making those mistakes? Absolutely not, especially not the first interception. The second interception, he was just being aggressive. I get it. Those things are going to happen, especially with this style of offense. But you do have to give him a little bit of a leeway because it was his first few snaps since tearing his ACL. Now, with that said, what do you do now? If we look at the last preseason game, I don't think most teams are going to play their starters. I just don't think.
But the last preseason game is Jets-Giants, baby.
I understand
that. It's for the Snoopy Bowl.
But is it worth it to risk him going out there again, especially if someone's trying to make the team, or especially if you don't start your starting, you know, offensive, you know, skill position and offensive? Is it worth it for him to get more reps? I'm going to say no, but I almost feel like I need to see him get more reps.
Mm.
Just so he gets that out.
Yeah, get that out of his system.
Get it out.
Because he can't throw that interception week one against the Vikings.
No.
Can't happen.
Because
he'll be crucified on the radio
because
for hours.
They'll end up putting themselves in losing position against a team that they are on paper better than.
Right.
And so you can't have those mistakes.
It's funny. So I'm sitting there on Saturday afternoon, and I don't know why I chose to watch the Giant game. I don't know why. I could have had the Yankee game on. I had the Giant game on, and I think it's in my blood that I miss football. I think that's really what it comes down to. It's almost Labor Day. I can smell it. The temperature has been just a little bit, like tiny bit less over the last few days. And I'm like, oh, my God, get me football. I want you to inject it into my veins. I can't wait. So I sat there. And I swear to you, when Daniel Jones threw that pick six and threw his second interception and didn't play the greatest game ever, I wasn't saying this is the evidence on why I don't believe in him. Because I don't think it matters. It's the freaking preseason.
True.
I don't think anything matters from the preseason. It was more the reminder of this is what this year is going to be about. It's going to be about Daniel Jones's last year as Giant quarterback. People will still argue he's elite. He sucks. It's the O-line's fault. It's that guy's fault. He's terrible. He's the best. It's going to be the same arguments we've had for a half a decade when the truth is he's just average. He's an average guy, and the Giants have already told us we're looking to replace him. So I didn't look at his performance necessarily on Saturday against the Texans and say that's evidence of anything. Because at the end of the day, it is preseason. And good and bad, you don't want to read too much into what you see when it's fake football.
Yeah, and this is going to be all season long, I fear. If it's a good day, it's going to be, I told you so. If it's a bad day, it's going to be, I told you so. Because it's just fully split. Actually, it's more towards the negative side. But no matter what happens, it's going to be, I told you so about Daniel Jones. And that's a tough spot for him to be in.
No.
Every single decision.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Every play, every whatever he does this year, heavily evaluated.
We do have breaking news, and look, as down as I may be as a Met fan concerning their loss on Sunday afternoon to the Miami Marlins, and it bothered me.
Yeah.
And I hope you thought of me, Tiki. I hope you thought of me, Loogie, because if Jose Budo is available to pitch in Sunday's game against the Miami Marlins, maybe they don't blow that lead with Waskar Brazaban. And Reed Garrett.
He kind of got unlucky. Soft hit.
Stop. He threw a wild pitch to tie the game.
I understand that, but I mean, four of those hits were like 80 mile an hour exit velocity.
Doesn't matter. He blew the game. But we do have breaking news concerning the Atlanta Braves.
Oh, I thought you were giving us Nimmo news. What's this about the Braves?
Austin Riley has a right hand fracture and is out for 6 to 8 weeks.
Wow.
So the Atlanta Braves, who are the team the Mets are only trailing by two games, an Atlanta Braves team that has not played well. They did win yesterday to increase their lead for the third wild card spot to two games. A team that is without Ozzie Albies. A team that is without Spencer Strider. Mm-hmm. A team that is without Ronald Acuna Jr. is now without Austin Riley. The hits keep coming to Atlanta. And so as depressed as I was driving home yesterday afternoon from Citi Field, as down as I was on that must-sweep series not ending in a sweep, and while I don't root for injury news, Tiki, what kind of human would I be? The New York Mets receive news that keeps them afloat in this wild card race. And that's the Atlanta Braves just had a massive, massive injury.
Yeah, I mean, that's horrible for the Braves. But somehow the Braves just keep finding ways to hang, stay afloat. The challenge for the Braves is that none of those guys, I mean, maybe Riley does, but a lot of those guys aren't coming back. All those other names you mentioned, they're not going to be available anytime this season or in the postseason. So It's a testament to the Braves that they're still hanging around despite three, now four, major injuries to important players. But the Mets still got to take care of business.
No doubt.
The Mets still should have swept, you know, Miami. The Mets should not have lost their previous series to the A's. Like, they have to take care of business.
Well, I was very upset when I was driving home Sunday, and my son Jet was crying because, not just because the Mets lost, he was upset that Uncle Loogie promised him that the Mets would sweep the Miami Marlins. Mm-hmm. He did that on the radio on Friday at Fanatics Fest. Jet asked me as we were leaving Fanatics Fest, Is Loogie right? He said we're going to sweep the Marlins. I said, well, he's very positive. I hope he's right. I also repeated a line that Loogie's undefeated. Positive Tommy, never wrong. So I don't know how you're going to explain this, Mr. Lugauer, to my beautiful 7-year-old son, but you're wrong, and you made him cry on Sunday afternoon. How does that make you feel?
Jet, if you're listening, this is Uncle Loogie, Positive Tommy. I also told you the Mets would take 2 out of 3 from the Orioles, and they will have a successful homestand. So that promise is still intact.
Now you they would sweep the Marlins!
Right, and now they need to sweep the Orioles to make up.
No, I think 2 out of 3.
No. You got to own the sweep of the Orioles.
What is this, Seinfeld, Paul O'Neill? I got hit 2 home runs for this kid, too?
Absolutely it is.
Loogie!
You promised a sweep to my son and to everyone listening, and they didn't do it. So what you should do right now on 50,000 watts plus the Odyssey app is just simply apologize. Mm-hmm. It's okay. You're not perfect.
No, I would
apologize.
No, I would not apologize for my positivity. I will not do that because that would say that I did something wrong.
Well, you lied to a 7-year-old.
No. Mm-hmm. I did not lie. I did not lie to anybody. Mm-hmm. I was being positive. That's all. They won the series.
This is why you don't take ownership of something you have no control over. Because you end up owning it, and you don't have no control.
Exactly. We'll get to your calls coming up. For the Giant fans out there, this is our world. This is us. Daniel Jones is ours, but it's only for a year. So we're going to watch him quarterback. We're going to hope for the best. But we all know he's gone at the end of the year. Where's your confidence in him? We'll get your calls coming up. 888-808-1019 from the Met fans out there off a brutal Sunday afternoon loss. We'll get to the Yankees as well, who had an even worse Sunday night loss in front of a bunch of Little League kids. Plus, the Mets decided to raise season ticket prices on some. We've got the full details, and why, shockingly, I'm not mad. Big night tonight. The Baltimore Orioles are coming to town, which means, to quote an old friend of mine, Yankee fans for Metsies. We will get into the Yankees, who suffered an absolutely brutal loss last night in front of a bunch of 12-year-olds in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. The New York Mets had a brutal loss on a Sunday afternoon. Daniel Jones had. Would you classify his performance on Saturday as a brutal performance?
No, I wouldn't say brutal. I think it was a couple of bad mistakes that overshadowed a steady performance. But that would be brutal. In the Daniel Jones parlance, if it wasn't his first game back.
Would you?
Right? It's like it makes you want to qualify everything. If you're a Daniel Jones supporter, you're going to qualify every single moment of that game.
What do you think someone who's not a Daniel Jones supporter but a Tommy DeVito fanboy would say?
You're going to mock him. You're going to say, I told you so. The challenge is Tommy DeVito was kind of just average also.
That is very true.
Not bad, but just average.
What do you think, Tommy DeVito fanboy?
You want the Jones part of it or the DeVito part of it first? Your choice.
Jones.
Jones stunk. He had a pick six, another brutal interception, and should have had another pick six on the first drive. It was right in the defender's breadbasket, and he dropped it. He should have had two pick sixes, three interceptions. The third interception was awful on first down. The one in the end zone was comical. I mean, that's rookie year brutal bad stuff. And the only time he looked good was against the Texans backups with the Giants starters. So he didn't look good at all. And as far as DeVito, this is no disrespect to anybody he was out there with. None of those guys besides Hodges is probably going to be on the team in a week. So, and he's playing with, you know, basically third string guys. He didn't have an opportunity like Daniel Jones to play with the starters against the Texans starters and the Texans backups. And Tommy, if you look at it, had a better quarterback rating. And Jones
Forget the rating. Means nothing.
Jones had three hideous throws.
In the preseason, I often feel like the only thing that matters is the eye test. The rating and all that other nonsense, it doesn't mean you can't look at statistics in the preseason because it's like the way the games are called, the way that what the coaches are actually trying to look at. It's not about the rating. It's about the eye test. And neither one of them looked fantastic eye test wise. So I hear what you're saying, but don't throw the statistics out.
No, and the one thing I would ask, and I'm an independent observer in this. I'm not a Daniel Jones fanboy. I'm not a Tommy DeVito fanboy. Do you think, I'm posing this question for both of you, the expert, the man who knows it all, the future Hall of Famer, versus that, Tommy Lugauer. Do you think Tommy...
No
disrespect. I'm that too, by the way. What the hell am I?
I thought he'd call me worse, but...
The only thing I knew about football as a kid is I'd be used as a football. I mean, that's it. Do you think that Tommy DeVito makes the two best throws that Daniel Jones made on Saturday afternoon?
I don't know if he has the arm to do that throw, the one to Slayton.
Yes.
Timing and arm-wise, I don't know. Because I haven't seen Tommy DeVito in a game yet make one of those deep throws.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I haven't seen him do it.
Yeah.
So my answer would be probably not, just because I haven't seen it.
Exactly. So maybe he's done it in practice, but I have not. I've seen Daniel Jones do it the entirety of training camp, and I saw him do it, obviously, in the preseason game to Darius Slayton, and it was a beautiful throw.
Yes.
I mean, another foot, and it's a touchdown, and we talk about it, and we almost maybe forget the two interceptions to an extent. But it gave us a chance to see Motor on the goal line, and he was awesome.
Motor.
I don't think Tommy has the arm strength that Daniel Jones has.
I don't think so either, and I think that in this Brian Daboll offense, where they're going to take a lot of shots down the field, I think Daniel Jones is better equipped to handle that than Tommy DeVito. But I will give Tommy Lugauer this, and Tiki, I apologize for what I'm about to do, but I want to be honest with the audience. I had a song in my head all Saturday.
Oh, no.
I couldn't get this song out of my head. I kept repeating it over and over again, and I hate to say, it was inspired by Daniel Jones.
Daniel Jones, you're not the one we need. Your passes miss the mark. Your accuracy recedes. Giants need a leader, someone who's got it all. Not another interception waiting to fall.
Sorry. It was in my head all day long.
Why does football season bring this out of you? Why does football season make you crazy and stupid?
when it comes to AI songs.
I'm a loser.
Yes.
Why would you assume that's an AI song? Let's get to your calls. We got a lot to get to. Klay Holmes imploding in front of 12-year-olds. The New York Mets get a massive positive break today, but there may be a negative break coming as well. And they've also decided to raise our season ticket prices on some. 888-808-1019. Charlie in Bayside. How you doing, Charlie?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. What's up?
Oh, 64-62 ratio.
Oh, you're killing us, dog.
I got to let you go. Sucks. 64-62. You know what he meant, Tommy? No?
64-62 ratio.
64. First of all, that doesn't even end up to 100%.
Yeah, I think he might have been talking about completion percentage.
Oh, God.
He was just saying it's time to move on from Daniel Jones was the overall.
Well, but the Giants agree. Like, that's the weird part about this whole thing. Like, they're going to move on from him.
Yeah.
They tried to move on from him.
Yeah.
And so they're going to do it.
I almost don't even want to hear people say that. Because we know that if that's the case.
That's what makes this season so odd. Like, we're going to watch a football season where we could debate Daniel Jones all day. It's meaningless.
I think we almost need a positive Tommy take here. But I don't want Tommy's take because Tommy wants Tommy. So we need a positive Tommy
I don't shine shoes anymore.
To Daniel Jones.
Well, here's the
positive. Which is, be positive, if for no other reason, and it's because it's what you're stuck with.
Okay, I can easily do that for you, despite that song that's in my head. Daniel Jones proved to you 2 years ago that in the right offense, with injuries being on your side and not having injuries that break down, that Daniel Jones is good enough to quarterback a team that makes the postseason and win a playoff.
Yeah.
Like, that's the positivity that... Yeah, well, if this is 2 years ago again, are the Giants capable of kind of following that path of winning 9 or 10 games, making the playoffs, and not winning a Super Bowl, but being dangerous? Sure, we saw it 2 years ago.
Yeah.
There's your positive opinion.
Look, I want to give credit here to Phil Simms, because I think this was Phil who said this. And it might have been on one of the other games. I watched so many games this weekend. But I want to say it was Phil talking about Daniel Jones's mistake when he basically... makes a rookie mistake as a going into his sixth year quarterback. Phil said, okay, well, at this point, in the preseason, you can't make those mistakes anymore, right? Going forward, you're just cautious. I can't make him another mistake. And maybe it was a different game I was watching, but the premise is the same. Daniel Jones can't afford to make those kind of mistakes. He just can't, because as much as his teammates may like and trust him and love the fact that he's one of the hardest workers, if not the hardest worker in that locker room, that he's there the earliest and he leaves the latest, all the things that the leaders are supposed to do, all the things that your starting quarterback is supposed to do, there's got to be some level of doubt of whether or not he's the man.
Mm.
And so when you make mistakes, it's one thing. If you make the same mistake over and over and over and over again to whoever said this about quarterbacks and making mistakes, it ends up undermining all of the good stuff that you do.
Right.
And so we saw this in Daniel Jones's first year with Dabes. He threw that interception trying to sneak it into Saquon Barkley against the Tennessee Titans. He got yelled at on the sideline. It was very succinct and brief by Dabes, and he led the league in interception or turnover percentage that year, tied for number one in the league, meaning least amount of turnovers. He needs that now. He needs that urgency right now. Otherwise, I think he starts losing the confidence of people who he's supposed to be leading.
Jesse is in Monmouth County. How you doing, Jesse?
What's up, guys?
What's up, Jess?
Peaky, I love you, man. Watched you your whole career.
Appreciate it.
By far the best Giants running back, my opinion. Daniel Jones, we know not to expect anything this year. It kind of sucks going into the season again. Just with no expectations, just hoping we don't embarrass ourselves like we have. I think, honestly, just looking for the best options out there, that's all I can think about. What do you guys think about?
Like, who's next? You're already thinking about who's next, Jesse?
Oh, 100%. 100%.
It's always on your mind.
I mean, like,
it's always
I'm
on
hoping,
your mind.
You know,
when you don't know.
Justin
when you
Fields
don't know.
Or Russell Wilson,
No, not Russell.
No.
I don't love Russell, even though I think he wants to be here in New York. I don't love Russell.
They didn't look that good the other day in their preseason game either. Not that I want to judge much from that. But by the way, just before you continue, it is very normal to think about what's next.
Yeah.
Like, this is the most important position in sports. And like I said at the top, the Giants have already told us we're trying to move on from him. They tried to move on from him this past offseason. And we all understand why they didn't. The price was too high. I don't think New England was ever serious with trading that pick. But nevertheless, they showed you that they're trying to move on. So yeah, in the back of Giant fans' minds, you're thinking to yourself, all right, who's going to be available?
Yeah.
And like I said to you last year, and I stand by this, maybe a part of it is busting balls with Dak Prescott, but I do think it's a veteran. Like, the quarterback of the New York Giants to start next season is going to be some kind of veteran quarterback.
Yeah.
Because I think your roster is going to be good enough where you will be competitive this year, and you're going to go into the offseason thinking, wow, we're a quarterback away, very similar to the Jets a few years ago.
Well, it's interesting because I would normally agree with you. And I think prior to the last couple of years, I would have agreed with you. But I feel like these quarterbacks are coming into the league so much more ready to play. Right? We saw it with C.J. Stroud a year ago. And again, I have no idea what Bo Nix is going to be. Bo Nix actually looked good last night.
Mm.
And I'm watching a lot of that game. We saw, what's his name, for Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams has looked good in both of his preseason games.
Yeah, he has, yep.
So whether it's just quarterback coaching in their off seasons, like their private coaches in the off seasons, and then working in collaboration with the teams that they get drafted to, so that even though they're not in the facility, they're actually learning what they're going to be exposed to once they get to the professional team. You're seeing young quarterbacks play well. So I bring that up because in truth, if the Giants are bad enough to be taking one of these top three quarterbacks that are going to be coming out next year, I almost feel like one of them could maybe play.
Well, that's a different story.
Right? See, and be okay.
But that's a different story, Tiki. Maybe I'm more positive than you. Yeah. I don't think the Giants are going to be that bad.
Yeah.
Like, and it's not.
And I agree with you. I agree with you. They're not going to ever try to not win.
Right. And even like last year where Daniel Jones missed as much time as he did, and then Tommy DeVito played, and then Tyrod Taylor eventually played. By the way, Tyrod Taylor and Tyrone Taylor is giving me a headache. I'm sorry. The Mets season with Tyrone Taylor, Tyrod Taylor now with the Jets. Like, I have now mixed up both guys. Like, it's almost like I want to do it on purpose now. Like, the Mets outfielder is Tyrod Taylor.
Yes.
And the Jets backup quarterback is Tyrone Taylor. That's where I'm at. But I think, and maybe this is the positivity in me, and we'll be at Giant Camp tomorrow. It should be a lot of fun. They may not be a playoff team. I think, especially defensively, they're going to be so improved that I think they're going to be a good team.
Yeah.
Now, their secondary worries me a little bit, but I think their pass rush has a chance to be awesome.
Right. And the linebacking core is good. McFadden was really good. The middle is, KRK is fantastic.
Yeah. So I don't think they're going to be that bottom of a team.
Mm-hmm.
That's why, even with the quarterback issues that may arise from Jones not being healthy or being ineffective,
Yeah. Like
they're going to win some games. They're not going to be 2-50.
Yeah, you're right. So they're not going to be in position to get one of those
guys. That's why if I had to guess right now, and we should do this, we should do a long-term bet on the starting quarterback for the New York Giants in 2025. I'll let you think about that, and we'll do that. Coming up right at 3:15, I promise you. But my guess is it would be a veteran quarterback. Kyle is in Mountainside, New Jersey. What's up, Kyle?
Hey, Evan. Hey, Tiki. Love you guys.
Appreciate it.
Not much. Just wanted to make one point about the Mets game last night. I know you're talking Giants, I'm a big Giants fan, but I'm going to jump over to the Mets. I'm going to fast forward to the seventh inning when Brazovan came in after Blackburn threw an awesome six innings.
Mm-hmm.
I think after he got that first out and then he gives up the two hits, the difference between Mendy and Buck from 2 years ago was Buck was probably going to bring in Edwin in that point because being a Mets fan, you know that was a much-needed win for them after now playing Baltimore coming up with Arizona and San Diego. So that's why I was trying to
see why
they didn't plug him.
I agree and disagree with you. All right, so in the seventh inning when the Mets had a one-run lead, Waskar Brazovan got the first out. It was a tapper right in front of the catcher, gives up an infield hit, gives up a blue pit, throws a wild pitch, game is tied.
Yeah.
Here's why Edwin Diaz, to me, is not that guy in the seventh inning, but he is that guy in the eighth inning. In the eighth inning of a tie game, when Reed Garrett can't throw a freaking strike.
Yeah, walked three guys.
And I know, and one of the outs he got was picking off Xavier Edwards, so thank God for that. I know I'm going to Diaz in a tie game in the ninth inning. Like, that's a lock.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm going to go to him in a tie game in the ninth inning, why wouldn't I go to him in a tie game in the eighth inning with 2-1 and 2-out, as opposed to either keeping Reed Garrett in to walk another guy, which he did to put two guys on, or by going to Phil Maton? So I completely agree with your premise that what managers need to do, and Buck did do a good job of this, and Mendy has at times, but he didn't do it yesterday, is use your best reliever. The New York Mets' best reliever is clearly Edwin Diaz. The Mets lost a game yesterday in which he never used him. They also lost a game yesterday, Teak, in which they didn't use their second best reliever or first best reliever in Jose Budo because he was misused on Friday night with a four-run lead.
Because they're trying to make him into a starter. But no, they don't
he's
know.
Not a starter, bro. He's not starting this year.
But they don't know that he's not.
No, I know. Because if
you know, but they don't know.
Well, they're wrong because if there's an injury in the rotation.
Okay, then explain to me why they keep using him in these ridiculous ways that are meaningless.
They're wrong.
I know that.
So that's what I'm saying.
So why are they doing it?
I can't give you the reason. Because they want to keep him as a potential starter. I'm telling you, that's a wrong-headed philosophy.
I understand what you're saying.
Because if there's an injury in the rotation, you use Tylor McGill. You use Joey Lucchesi. You call up Brandon Sproat. You don't take your best reliever.
You're not calling up Sproat. I know you want to. It's great.
It's not the point.
Because he's a fantastic AA name, but you have zero idea.
So you want to take your best reliever
away. It's like the Yankees calling up the Martian and saying, the Martian's going to save us.
No, don't get lost in this. My point is you don't take your best reliever away. That's my point. My point is, their best reliever is Jose Budo.
No, the best reliever is Nunez, who's hopefully coming back. He has a minor league start, and he's going
to
pitch
well. He was their best reliever, but he's missed a month.
But he's going to come back. He's going to come back.
And you think he's
going to
pick up right where he left off? How do I know that?
I don't know that, but I do
know. So then he's not their best reliever.
I do know that they have a philosophy with Jose Budo, which is baffling to me.
They're wrong.
I know they're wrong, but why are they doing it?
At this point, I don't even care why. They've got to change it. Because here are the facts, Tiki. Two games in this series, the finale against Oakland, the finale against Miami, the New York Mets lost brutal games in which their bullpen blew it, and they didn't use their best reliever. That's a fact. They didn't use their best reliever.
Best two.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, why?
No. Diaz pitched in the first one, correct?
I'm not talking about Diaz. I'm talking about Budo.
I know,
Diaz
but I'm
is
talking
the closer,
about...
and I understand that you're more careful in when you use him. The Mets blew that lead a little bit earlier.
Mm-hmm.
It's Jose Budo as their best reliever was not used in their two most brutal losses because of mismanagement on when they're using Budo. It's a huge mistake. I've been screaming about it for a week. And instead of saying, well, this is why they're doing it, change it. He's not a starter this season. It's over. He's not starting this year. It doesn't make sense for him to start this season.
Then I can't explain why they're doing what they're doing.
Well, they gotta
I just can't.
Clean it up. That's what I'm saying. Clean it up. He's their best reliever. Well, use him properly.
They listened to you when you said put Bientos in the two hole, so maybe.
That's right.
Maybe they'll listen.
They did listen to me. Thank God they didn't listen to Tommy's advice. Remember Tommy's advice last week? They should move Severino to the bullpen and start Jose Budo. Sevy responds with a complete game shutout.
And all Loogie! In all fairness, when I suggested this, the next two starts for Sevy were not good. So you're cherry picking, but
I'm not cherry picking.
Sure are. When I suggested it, he was bad two straight starts after I suggested it.
Okay,
and then
great.
He had a great
so who
start.
Are you starting instead?
Jose Budo. It was a Freaky Friday switch up. That's what I was trying to do. I was just trying to turn a negative to a positive. That's all.
No, the positive is what you need to do when you have a weapon, and Budo is a weapon, is you've got to use your weapon smartly.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, the Mets have this really effective weapon for as long as it lasts. Who knows how long it's going to last? And they've used it really, really badly.
Yeah.
In fact, coming up a little bit later on in the show, we're very excited. This is the first ever game show we're going to play regards to this. And it was Tiki's idea. I can't wait to do it. We're going to play a game of whose pen is worse between the New York Yankees and the New York Mets. We're going to have a pen off between the Mets and the Yankees. Because Yankee fans are very, very pissed off about what they witnessed last night.
I mean,
they're right.
I mean, you got a closer that's blown 10 saves.
10 saves.
10.
10 saves.
It almost sounds fake.
10 saves.
10 saves.
10.
10.
You know how to say that in Spanish?
Diaz.
Very good. I know. Loogie's freaking out because he heard Diaz.
No, I'm not taking a shot at Edwin Diaz. I am not. I have nothing. Diaz blew Diaz.
And he hasn't had the greatest year in the world either.
Yeah, but he hasn't blown 10 saves.
He has not blown 10 saves. We'll get into what happened last night with the New York Yankees and why you're just stuck with Clay Holmes and the real reason the Yankees lost last night, because it may not be Clay Holmes. But before we do that, let's go to John in Danbury, Connecticut. What's up, John?
What's up, John?
What's up, guys? Thanks for taking the call. Just kind of going back to a few callers ago about having zero expectations for the Giants this year, I'm on that sentiment. Like, I can't expect Daniel Jones is walking onto that field this year and he's going to be an above-average quarterback. Like, what we saw 2 years ago making the playoffs and that playoff win, he peaked. Like, that's it. Like, I think this is it with the guy. I I can't expect anything more than a, you know, 9-8 season. Like, he's shown me nothing that is going to give me immense confidence where I'm like, that's the guy. Like, he's our guy. We're going to re-sign him. I just don't see it. Like,
yeah,
we're going to bop along this year, win some games with our new lineup, and hope for the best. Like, that's what we got.
I think what happened 2 years ago is that Daniel Jones was forced to be conservative. And so he didn't have a humongous season. It's not like he threw for 4,000 yards and 30 touchdowns. But what made him good was that he didn't make mistakes.
And that's going to be different this year, man.
Of course
it's on a huge level.
Just by nature of Dave's play calling, he's not going to be able to be vanilla, milquetoast, no mistake quarterback.
His interception percentage is going to go way up.
It's going to go up, but he has to limit the dumb mistakes. Right? The downfield, I'm taking a shot because we have talent that can do that now. And you know what? DB just made a great play. Mm. Or I made a bad throw or whatever it is. But it's 35, 40 yards downfield. Fine. You can't do the sack fumbles, the backed up, I panic, I'm throwing the ball away, turns into a pick six like we saw this weekend. If he can eliminate those things and just be smart with the football, I think the Giants can take care of themselves almost.
It's going to be...
It's a weird spot for Daniel Jones because he knows he has to prove it. And in your mind, as a prove it year, you got to have 4,500 yards and 30 touchdowns. See, I told you, I'm worth the $40 million.
Right.
In fact, I'm underpaid. That's what prove it means. But to me, for Daniel Jones, prove it is don't make mistakes, dude.
Yeah.
Just be sound.
Well, it's funny because he is set up in such an extreme different way than 2 years ago in that he's got a wide receiving room that's 10 times better. Okay, he's got burners.
Mm-hmm.
He's got guys that are going to dart down the field. He's got a guy in Malik Nabers who may well become a superstar, right? So Daniel Jones is going to take a lot more shots down the field than he did 2 years ago. That's positive number one.
Mm-hmm.
Positive number two is the offensive line could be a lot better. Negative number one is Saquon ain't there.
Yeah.
So the approach of, I got Saquon Barkley, I got one of the best running backs in the world, that's not here. But also, because they're going to be taking so many shots down the field, and we've already seen a preview of that, naturally, he's going to throw for a lot more yards. He's also going to throw a lot more interceptions.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, both of those things are going to happen this year.
But downfield interceptions, I can live with.
Yes.
It's the short stuff. It's the screen stuff. It's the mistakes around the line of scrimmage. That's what kills you.
No doubt. We got a lot going on today. We will continue with the Giants, but to the Yankees, coming up next, Clay Holmes blew a game last night. It has angered everybody. For the 10th time this season, he blew a save. When we come back, why the Yankees are stuck with him. And every other option you could come up with is not as good. So I thought about it. I went into the laboratory of baseball, and I came up with something scientific that the Yankees can do to fix their ninth inning issues. We'll get to that, plus the real reason why the Yankees may have lost last night. More of your calls on Daniel Jones, frustrated Met fans, angry Yankee fans. Every game show we're going to play regards to this, and it was Tiki's idea. I can't wait to do it. We're going to play a game of whose pen is worse between the New York Yankees and the New York Mets. We're going to have a pen off between the Mets and the Yankees because Yankee fans are very, very pissed off about what they witnessed last night.
I mean,
they're right.
I mean, you got a closer that's blown 10 saves.
10 saves.
10.
10 saves.
It almost sounds fake.
10 saves.
10 saves.
10.
10.
You know how to say that in Spanish?
Diaz.
Very good. I know. Lugie's freaking out because he heard Diaz.
No, I'm not taking a shot at Edwin Diaz. I am not. I have nothing. Diaz blew Diaz.
And he hasn't had the greatest year in the world either.
Yeah, but he hasn't blown 10 saves.
He has not blown 10 saves. We'll get into what happened last night with the New York Yankees and why you're just stuck with Clay Holmes and the real reason the Yankees lost last night, because it may not be Clay Holmes. But before we do that, let's go to John in Danbury, Connecticut. What's up, John?
What's up, John?
What's up, guys? Thanks for taking the call. Just kind of going back to a few callers ago about having zero expectations for the Giants this year, I'm on that sentiment. Like, I can't expect Daniel Jones is walking onto that field this year and he's going to be an above-average quarterback. Like, what we saw 2 years ago making the playoffs and that playoff win, he peaked. Like, that's it. Like, I think this is it with the guy. I can't expect anything more than a, you know, 9-8 season. Like, he's shown me nothing that is going to give me immense confidence where I'm like, that's the guy. Like, he's our guy. We're going to re-sign him. I just don't see it. Like,
yeah,
we're going to bop along this year, win some games with our new lineup, and hope for the best. Like, that's what we got.
I think what happened 2 years ago is that Daniel Jones was forced to be conservative. And so he didn't have a humongous season. It's not like he threw for 4,000 yards and 30 touchdowns. But what made him good was that he didn't make mistakes.
And that's going to be different this year, man.
Of course
it's on a huge level.
Just by nature of Dave's play calling, he's not going to be able to be vanilla, milquetoast, no mistake quarterback.
His interception percentage is going to go way
up. It's going to go up, but he has to limit the dumb mistakes, right? The downfield, I'm taking a shot because we have talent that can do that now. And you know what? DB just made a great play, or I made a bad throw, or whatever it is, but it's 35, 40 yards downfield. Fine. You can't do the sack fumbles, the backed up, panic, I'm throwing the ball away, turns into a pick six like we saw this weekend. If he can eliminate those things and just be smart with the football, I think the Giants can take care of themselves almost.
It's going to be...
It's a weird spot for Daniel Jones because he knows he has to prove it. And in your mind, as a prove it year, you got to have 4,500 yards and 30 touchdowns. See, I told you, I'm worth the $40 million. Right. In fact, I'm underpaid. That's what prove it means. But to me, for Daniel Jones, prove it is don't make mistakes, dude.
Yeah.
Just be sound.
Well, it's funny because he is set up in such an extreme different way than 2 years ago in that he's got a wide receiving room that's 10 times better. Okay, he's got burners. Mm-hmm. He's got guys that are going to dart down the field. He's got a guy in Malik Nabers who may well become a superstar, right? So Daniel Jones is going to take a lot more shots down the field than he did 2 years ago. That's positive number one.
Mm-hmm.
Positive number two is the offensive line could be a lot better. Negative number one is Saquon ain't there.
Yeah.
So the approach of, I got Saquon Barkley, I got one of the best running backs in the world, that's not here. But also, because they're going to be taking so many shots down the field, and we've already seen a preview of that, naturally, he's going to throw for a lot more yards. He's also going to throw a lot more interceptions.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, both of those things are going to happen this year.
But downfield interceptions, I can live with.
Yes.
It's the short stuff. It's the screen stuff. It's the mistakes around the line of scrimmage. That's what kills you.
No doubt. We got a lot going on today. We will continue with the Giants, but to the Yankees, coming up next, Clay Holmes blew a game last night. It has angered everybody. For the 10th time this season, he blew a save. When we come back, why the Yankees are stuck with him. And every other option you could come up with is not as good. So I thought about it. I went into the laboratory of baseball, and I came up with something scientific that the Yankees can do to fix their ninth inning issues. We'll get to that, plus the real reason why the Yankees may have lost last night. More of your calls on Daniel Jones, frustrated Met fans, angry Yankee fans.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Port Trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.